Hello, family and friends. The Health Empowerment Group is back again. We're in the building. Are you ready? Like Phil said, my name is Dr. Vexu Hill, and I am your moderator. Tonight's topic will focus on the importance of sleep, something to pay attention to. I hope you slept well last night. I know I didn't, so I'm alert, okay? The speakers will talk about what good sleep looks like in terms of facilitators and barriers, also exploring the role of nutrition, looking at sleep disorders and the impact of poor sleep on mental health. That's key. We will have a Q&A session at the end. Please note that we will not be calling on raised hands. You heard me, right? Please put your questions in the chat. That's where I'm gonna grab the questions, so put them in the chat. If we don't get around to the questions during service, please send your email address so that the specific speaker can correspond with you. I will now introduce our amazing speakers. Dr. Toju Chikiobi is a board certified pediatrician as well as the medical director of Health Core Limited and the NGO, the Health Zone Wellness Initiative. Next, Amaka Amachi is a culinary nutritionist who loves experimenting and exploring the healing powers of culinary ingredients. She empowers individuals about the importance of nourishing with nutrient-dense meals to support their health goals through nutritional workshops, educational videos, customized programs, and simply flavor nutrient-dense meals. I cannot wait. Her slides, oof. I hope you had dinner because you'll be like hungry right away. Dr. Maxine Strickland is an associate professor in the Diagnostic Sciences Department at Rutgers School of Dental Medicine in Oral Radiology. She enjoys creating a scientific environment when teaching dental students. Dr. Strickland is also an inventor. Let me let that sit for a second. And currently has field patents in the US and in Europe for a novel toothbrush designed to reduce aspiration pneumonia risk for patients and patients with disabilities. Our very own Chuck Royal, a spiritual life coach specializing in trauma, and marriage related academy. He is also a narrative focused trauma care and FTC certified from Dan Allender and the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology. As a life coach, he is connected with different community groups in Patterson and facilitated two crisis and trauma classes with St. Joseph's Hospital Health Coalition, along with Carlito Kibbelin. This has been offered to the New Jersey region the last couple of weeks. Finally, you heard Carlito's name, right? They're a tag team. So Carlito Kibbelin has been working in the mental health field for some time now. He currently partnered with Chuck Royal to host the crisis and trauma classes in our sector. Let's waste no more time and get into this presentation. Dr. Chikiobi, it is all yours.
So thank you, Maxu, again. I'm Dr. Toju Chikiobi, as Maxu said. And sleep is a biologically essential period of rest. I'm going to say it again. Sleep is a biologically essential period of rest. Quality sleep and getting enough of it at the right times is as essential to survival as food and water. During sleep, your brain repairs itself, consolidates and creates memories. It maintains and grows new pathways. Your mood, health, energy level, and mental sharpness all deteriorate if you don't get enough sleep. In fact, recent findings suggest that sleep plays a housekeeping role that removes toxins in your brain that build up during the day while you're awake. Sleep affects every type of system in the body, from the brain, heart, lungs, to metabolism, immune function, mood, and disease resistance. Research shows that a chronic lack of sleep or getting poor quality sleep increases the risks of cardiovascular disorders, such as, high blood pressure, It increases the risk of diabetes, depression, and obesity. The factors that include your, that influence your sleep include medical conditions, medications that you're on, whatever stress you're experiencing, sleep environment, the things you eat and drink, your recent sleep patterns, and your age. But perhaps the greatest influence is the exposure to light. So let's talk a little bit about the physiology of sleep, because I think it's going to help you to understand everything that comes, not just from me, but from the other speakers as well. So as we can see, sleep is not uniform, okay? Over the course of the night, your total sleep is made up of several sleep cycles. There's a sleep cycle on your screen now. So stage one and stage two, called N1 and N2, that's light sleep. Stage three, sleep, deep sleep. And stage four is REM sleep. These are cycles of sleep that their purpose is to take you from being awake to a state of deep sleep that is restorative. Every night, each of these cycles lasts about 90 minutes. And every night you actually go through about 4 to 6 of these sleep cycles. So you start out with a light sleep, you fall into deeper sleep, then you get into REM sleep, and then you cycle back into light sleep and deeper sleep and REM sleep. And you do this 4 to 6 times a night. Each time can last as long as 90 minutes. A sleep cycle is made up of 4 distinct stages, and going smoothly through each stage of sleep, from light sleep to deep sleep to REM sleep, is a vital part of getting high quality rest. So stage one, called N1, is essentially when a person first falls asleep. It lasts just about 1 to 7 minutes, and your body is not fully relaxed, though your body and brain activities are starting to slow down with brief periods of movement. It's easy to wake somebody during this sleep stage, but if you're not disturbed, you go quickly into stage two. Stage two, or N2, the body enters a more subdued state. Your body temperature drops, your muscles relax, the breathing and heart rate slow, and at the same time, your brain waves begin to show a new pattern and your eye movement stops. Brain activity slows, but there's still short bursts of brain activity. Stage two sleep can last from 10 to 25 minutes during the sleep cycle. And that takes you into stage three. Stage three sleep is also known as N3, or deep sleep. It's harder to wake someone up in this stage. Your muscle tone, your heart and breathing rate decrease as the body relaxes even further. The brain activity during this stage shows delta waves, which are slow brain waves. Now, this is key. Experts believe that this stage is critical to restorative sleep, allowing for bodily recovery and growth. It may also strengthen the immune system and other important bodily processes. And evidence also shows that deep sleep contributes to insightful thinking, to creativity, and to memory. From your deep sleep, you spend the most time in this deep sleep state during the first half of the night. And as you continue sleeping, the deep sleep state gets shorter and you spend more time in REM sleep. We've all heard about REM sleep. REM sleep simply means rapid eye movement sleep. And during REM sleep, your brain activity picks up again, almost like when you're awake. And at the same time, the body experiences a temporary paralysis of your muscles, except for the muscles of your eye and the muscles of your heart, and of course, and the muscles of your breathing. Even though your eyes are closed, your eyelids are closed, you can see your eyeballs moving rapidly, which is why this stage gets the name rapid eye movement sleep. REM sleep is believed to be essential to cognitive functions like memory, learning, creativity. The most vivid dreams occur during REM sleep, and because of the increase in brain activity again. And typically you do not enter REM sleep until you've been asleep for about 90 minutes. And as the night progresses, your REM sleep stages get longer. So now you can see a series of sleep cycles from you fall asleep at 10 p.m. and say you wake up at 8 p.m. There's six sets of sleep cycles. And with each set of sleep cycle, the stages change. You can see the REM stage starts to get wider. In fact, the initial falling asleep stage disappears because you're already asleep, but you cycle through light and deep and REM and light and deep and REM. So what is the importance of the sleep stages? The sleep stages function to move you through, to move your brain from its awake state to a restful, restorative state that allows your brain and body to recuperate and develop. So if you fail to go through these sleep cycles smoothly, failure to obtain enough of deep sleep and REM sleep may actually explain some of the negative effects of insufficient sleep on thinking, emotions, and physical health. I will end with this. Sleep is the most underestimated function of your body. It is as essential to survival, as I said, as food and water. It's part of the daily tune-up your body needs. And quality sleep is restorative. It has the amazing power to reboot your brain, to repair your tissues, to strengthen your immune system and balance out your stress hormones. Every adult should aim for 7 to 8 hours of quality sleep daily. But here's the caveat. Because of our circadian rhythms, sleeping from, say, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. provides better quality sleep than sleeping from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. So it's not as simple as just getting your 7 or 8 hours of sleep, but it is critical that they be quality sleep. And at this point, I hope that your day goes from being like this to being like this. The scriptures say, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The goal is to sleep in peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Toju. Amaka, please go ahead and share your screen. I'm going to get that rest tonight, Toju. What? I need it. I need to look like perfect sleep, like rest.
Good evening, everyone. Like Toju said, my name is Amaka, and thank you so much, Dr. Toju, for just enlightening us on, you know, the importance of sleep and why it really matters, and just like the different factors that plays a huge role in the quality of sleep. That's like a huge topic that's really dear to my heart. And so I'm just gonna continue from where she left off and just expand more as to how food really contributes to you know, whether you get a healthier sleep or not. I'm gonna go ahead and see. Okay, so good sleep, again, there are really a lot of factors that contribute to someone having good sleep, right? Food is a huge factor. And another factor that we don't necessarily talk about or even think of is your mattress. It's definitely something I'm gonna go into. But again, food is a huge factor when it comes to, you know, preparing yourself for having a healthy sleep that serves you and that serves your health. So I'm just going to go on and talk about some foods that do serve your health, and some foods to think about to incorporate in your meals on a daily basis, or even just to cook for your loved ones. And also some foods that you should think about avoiding as you prep. Let's see. Okay, that's interesting. Next. So foods to avoid so sorry about this. For some reason, my slides keep on going faster than I actually intend them to. Okay. So you can ask yourself, why should I care about the nutrients that my food contains, or why should I care about, you know, the nutrients that are in my food? One of the reasons would be, again, because they play a huge role in just different functions in your body, of which sleep is one of them. So some nutrients that support good sleep include magnesium, vitamin D, your vitamin B, vitamin C, omega-3s, and let's see here. Okay. And then some food that supports good sleep. For example, if you're looking to increase your magnesium, you would be looking to incorporate dark leafy vegetables. So that would be your kale. Your spinach could also fall into this. But when I'm talking about dark leafy greens, it's more so your kale. And there are different forms of kale. You have the red kale. Yeah. You have the red, I think it's a red kale, I believe, or just a regular kale, right? Or if you do want, if you're going for like some vegetables that do have some spiciness to them, you could definitely look into it. That's arugula or watercress. Watercress is one of my favorite because it just gives you, it has like this pepperish taste to it. It's definitely different and not something that a lot of people are used to or even just aware of, but it's literally cheap to get, but it has a lot of benefits when it comes to providing you with magnesium. You have dark chocolates. If you are not allergic to avocados, that's definitely something to incorporate in your meal. I'm going to move on to melatonin. If you're looking to increase melatonin, and I'm pretty sure it's a nutrient that a lot of us has heard a lot about when talking about sleep and even how can I attain or how can you attain better sleep. Some foods that you can incorporate into your daily meals that do contain melatonin include fatty fish. I do recommend to always get the ones that are wild caught versus the ones that are farm raised, right? There's just a lot that goes into seafoods or even just fatty fishes that are farm raised that are not really that beneficial for your health, as opposed to those that are, you know, left in the wild, who grew out there and have just built a lot of resistance that when digested would even improve your immunity, right? Compared to the farm-raised seafoods. A couple of other foods to incorporate to increase your melatonin would be tart cherries, some mushrooms. I do love mushrooms and they're a myriad of them, right? My favorite is shiitake mushrooms just because it literally has a huge flavor depending on how you make it, right? Literally, I think the easiest way to prep a mushroom would be just, you know, sauteing it, but that's with some onions, olive oil, a little bit of sea salt, black pepper, and you're literally all set. A couple of the mushrooms that we have out there literally taste like meat, right? So depending on how you cut them, you could even substitute that for your meat if that's something or a goal that you're looking to attain, right? Where you have more plants than actual meat. Okay, so I'm going to move on to other nutrients that do support good sleep, which is vitamin D, vitamin C, and you can see under vitamin D, we do have fatty fish again, some plant milk, legumes, organ meats are so, so good when it comes to just increasing the vitamin D levels that you have, or if that's a goal for you. And then organ meats would just include something like liver. They're getting different other meats, depending on what you can handle. I know these types of meats are not necessarily what we're used to. They're not like your chicken or your beef, but they do have a lot of nutrients to offer. And so when you do go grocery shopping, you know, stop by a butcher, and depending on where you shop, there are a lot of sessions that do sell organ meats. These are really good to try out, you know, try out new recipes with them, see if that's something you love. A lot of them are acquired taste, so they do take some time to get used to, but when you find that recipe, you're literally setting yourself up for success from a health standpoint. I'm going to go on and talk about, let me get this moving. Let's see. Okay. So I'm going to talk about some foods to avoid and just other factors like Dr. Toju mentioned that you can be considering before going to bed just to enhance that, you know, level of sleep or to improve your sleep quality. Some foods to avoid would be caffeinated foods and beverages, which I know a lot of us are aware about, right? If you are taking caffeine before bed, and I know everyone reacts to caffeine very differently depending on your tolerance level, right? But like me, I don't have a high tolerance level for caffeine. So if I am planning to go to sleep, I should not be anywhere next to caffeine, right? Or caffeinated foods or beverages. Spicy foods are also part of the group just because of the flavor that it has and all that, you know, the nutrients and the flavor has to do with just the hormones that contributes to you falling asleep. It actually makes you feel much more lively and much more awake, as opposed to you feeling, you know, having the feeling to go to bed. And they do have dried foods, of course, fast foods and ultra processed foods are some foods to definitely stay away from. Other factors that do contribute to, you know, other factors that you should be considering before you go to bed, like Dr. Toju said, is light exposure, right? Light has a huge influence on our bodies, just because our cells have evolved to associate light with waking, right? So that's why during the day, everyone, we're accustomed to waking up during the day, doing work during the day, right? And at night, everyone's like, okay, I'm feeling drowsy, I'm getting the itis, I need to sleep, right? That's just how we evolve. So looking into the amount of light you're exposing yourself to 2 to 3 hours before bed is something to think about. And even reducing that, that exposure would help you feel more better when you fall asleep, to fall asleep even much more faster and get good quality sleeps. And I think those realms that Dr. Toju talked about, social media is the second one, right? So I know you probably have heard of this, you know, make sure you're not exposing yourself to social media at least 2-3 hours before bedtime, right? So that way you're not getting your brain stirred up. There's a lot of emotions that can come when you're exposing yourself to social media and all the content out there that you don't have control over, right? You just never know what might hit you, and you just never know how you react to things, right? Another huge factor that contributes to the quality of our sleep is the quality of your mattress, right? A lot of people don't really talk about this, but if you think about it, studies show that we spend a third of our life sleeping, right? So if you're someone who sleeps for 8 hours per day and you've been sleeping for, let's see, and you turn 25, so you've technically spent about 8 years of your life sleeping. And if you get to live to 100 years old, you would have spent about 33.3% of your life sleeping. Right. And so just something to think about. If you're going to be spending our bedroom and our mattress is most likely where we tend to spend the most time. And so when you think about what contents or what materials were used to make your mattress, that's something that really has a huge influence on your hormones. When you lay on that for, like, you know, the longest of time, if you're someone who sleeps for 8 hours, and then those materials play a huge role on how your hormones react, right? And if they lead you to want to go to sleep, or if they actually help you attain quality sleep or not, if they just keep you restless. A lot of the mattresses we have out there are made with, they will call it a lot of names. They have VCOs, PCBs, I think it's polyurethane as well. All of these are just chemical names that, if you bring it down to layman's term, just means solid gasoline, right? So if you can even just imagine you laying on solid gasoline on a lot of these mattresses, and just imagine the havoc it can create in your body. And so that's one of my goals. So, like, as much as, yes, I want to talk about nutrition, and that's beautiful, it's nice to make foods, it's nice to fuel yourself with nutrients that really support your health goals, little things like just the toxins around you plays a huge role as to if you will get better sleep or not. And your mattress is one of them. And there's so many other, there's so many amazing companies out there that are doing their best to provide mattresses with less toxins that actually serve our health, that do not cost or put a dent in your pocket. So my advice would be, you know, check them out there. I don't necessarily have the links here, but if that's something you're interested in, definitely feel free to send me an email. I would definitely love to share some of the links that I do trust for companies who actually are putting in the effort to produce mattresses that serve our health. And of course, we have noise exposure. We have the method of reading. Are you someone who reads a book, or are you someone that reads on an iPad, right? All of that light exposure really plays a huge influence on you wanting to go to sleep. And again, just for the sake of time, I know this is really short. These are some scripture that really just helps with understanding that, yes, like Dr. Toju said, sleep is important, and, you know, God definitely does want us to rest. Of course, there are different levels of rest, right? And sleep is definitely one of them. And so just like meditating on these scriptures, and there are a lot of other scriptures too that encourage us to making sure that we are taking care of our health in the aspect of getting good sleep and doing what we can with what we have to attain healthier sleep. That's all I do have. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm going to go ahead and pass on to the next person.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for letting me share tonight. I'm going to be talking a little bit about sleep in the beginning, but then sleep disorders and the most about obstructive sleep apnea. And before that, I just wanted to read a scripture. Psalm 62:5 says, "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken." So now a little bit about sleep. We spend about a third of our lives asleep. Sleep is a universal need. And as Toju mentioned, there are two types. I'm not going to go into all the depths of that because she already did that. But the two types are non-REM and REM, and both are important. And experts now believe that non-REM is more important regarding learning and memory. And also, it's more the phase that we have more of a deep sleep and more restful phase of sleep. So now let's look at sleeping disorders. Dysomnia is the type of disorder that affects the amount and quality and the timing of sleep. There's insomnia, and that has to do with having trouble falling asleep. It can be caused by stress or anxiety. Hypersomnia, individuals may complain of being excessively tired during the day. And Amica so nicely talked about different foods to avoid, like caffeine and things like that, that can impact your inability to sleep. And the environment also, she mentioned. Narcolepsy is a type of disorder that people will find it hard to stay awake for long periods of time. And then in addition to that, there are the circadian rhythm disorders, also known as sleep-wake cycle disorders. And those are problems that occur when your body's internal clock, which tells you when it's time to sleep or wake, is out of sync with your environment. And some of us may be familiar with that when we stay up too late at night. And then my focus mainly is on OSA tonight, obstructive sleep apnea. And this is characterized by episodes of complete collapse or partial collapse of the airway with an associated decrease in oxygen saturation, resulting in non-restorative sleep. Diagnostic testing for OSA should be performed in conjunction with a comprehensive sleep evaluation and adequate follow-up. Polysomnography is the standard diagnostic test for OSA, as well as being referred to as sleep medicine professional. The treatment is a CPAP machine or a mouth guard. And OSA can be chronic or it can last for years or it can be lifelong. It's seen in all age groups, but the frequency increases with age and obesity. If it's left untreated, there can be a myriad of problems, as you can see here. Memory loss, problems with the inability to think clearly, cardiac problems, abnormal heart rhythms, stroke, high blood pressure, and increased accidents can occur, and impotence, and many other problems. So in fact, because of this, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine has put out clinical guidelines for the evaluation and management of long-term care in obstructive sleep apnea. And they've recommended that physicians and dentists actually incorporate questions in their routine health examination for patients so that they can make referrals for patients when they have sleep apnea. So as dentists, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine wants us to be able to help with referring the patients because we get to visualize some of the things that may occur. For example, when the patient comes into our office, we can determine whether or not their mandible is retruded or if they're overweight. In addition to that, they may complain of daytime sleepiness. They may be people or individuals who have problems with snoring or have high blood pressure on their medical history. And snoring is caused by a narrowing or partial blockage of the airways at the back of the throat or nose or the mouth. And this obstruction results in increased air turbulence when breathing in, causing the soft tissues in the upper airways to vibrate. So as dentists, this is what we are seeing. So for example, if you can look at these four classes, you could probably, you know, figure it out as well. Looking at class three and class four, you can see that the long soft palate hangs a little bit more below the aspect of the tongue and almost closing off the airway. So these are called the Malapati scores. So for example, if an individual has a Malapati score of a three or a four, they will likely have problems with sleep apnea. In addition to that, if we see patients with scalloped tongues, that means that the tongue is rather large and it braces itself against the teeth. And in addition to that, there also can be some narrowing of the arches. And then this example shows how the mandible can be retruded. And all of these cause the tongue to fall back and block off the airway in this position. And so these are some things that we can see to help us to be able to refer patients to a sleep medicine specialist. But also you can take a look at yourself in the mirror. And just briefly, I'd like to share, this study that I did with some students. We looked retrospectively at a chart review of 65 patients and 30 had OSA, 35 did not. And there were 70% of the patients that were males in the group and 30% that were females. And the mean BMI of the individuals with OSA was 32.76 compared to those who did not have OSA, which was 27.26. And also with every unit of increase of the BMI, there was an 18% risk of developing OSA, which was found to be significant. The mean age of the subjects were 65 as compared to 50 in the non-OSA group. And for every year age increases, the predicted odds increased by 4.9% of developing sleep apnea with each year of age, and that was also significant. And so in conclusion, we found that obesity, meaning BMI greater than 30, and age were significant factors for developing obstructive sleep apnea. So the treatment for sleep apnea, as I mentioned, the gold standard is the CPAP machine. And the CPAP stands for continuous positive airway pressure, and it's used to help people with sleep apnea breathe regularly during sleep. It's designed to increase the ear pressure in the throat, which prevents the airway from collapsing when you breathe. And another treatment is an oral appliance, as you see here, that can be custom made for your teeth and prevent your tongue from, falling back. And then lastly, there's diet and exercise that can help reduce the BMI to help, with sleep apnea. And so I just want to say thank you for letting me share. And a scripture in Hebrews 4:6 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our times of need." And in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Rest well, rest in God. Thank you guys so much for letting me share.
All right. Good evening, guys. Thanks so much for allowing me to share. Real briefly, I just want to touch on trauma, understanding trauma, racial trauma, and awareness. And trauma definitely plays a part in sleep. And just, the different things that we may experience affects our body. So definitely sleep falls into that category. But some of the things I just want to share real quick here is the word shalom is peace. And just with trauma is two different categories that we can be affected by trauma. One is invasion and one is abandonment. So the two categories affect the areas of our lives is emotionally, physically, sexually, and spiritually. So tonight I just want to touch a little bit just on spiritually and how that affects us in a trauma-related way, but also how that can affect us with sleep and taking away and trying to fight to keep that peace that God wants to give us in our life. So like I said, shalom. Shalom is peace. And that's something that God wants to give us and he wants us to have. But the world and the challenges and the troubles of life and the experiences that we go through every day try to take that peace away, tries to shatter it, you know? And 1 Corinthians 13:13 talks about holding on to peace, hope, and love, you know? And as the world tries to shatter our shalom and our peace, we have to fight to invite faith, hope, and love so that we can overcome those challenges that's coming at us. So we need to seek out the shalom. And that process of seeking it, like I just shared, we have to invite faith, hope, and love, but also it's inviting others and God into it, inviting other people that we feel safe talking to, and okay to go and get professional help if you need to. That's okay, you know? And John 4:1-26 talks about Samaritan woman, and the importance of the Samaritan woman was that she shared her story. You know, Jesus wanted to hear her story. And all of us have a story. It's so important to be able to just talk about our story because that frees us and it helps the process of being able to be healed and to bring back that shalom and that peace to our body. So shalom restored. We see it in our life and we feel it in our body and our emotions. Now, the body keeps the score. You know, a few people mentioned to this evening just how our body is affected by things. And, you know, trauma, definitely we will see it in our body. So the goal is for us to have a balance. And let me get back to that, sorry. So the goal is to have a balance. And as you see, sleeping well is one of those keys that you will see when you have that balance, you know, as well as other few things. But when we have that balance, we're going to see the peace come. We're going to see a joyful life. We're going to see the stress release. And that's something that God wants us to really to go after, to constantly be striving to restore that shalom. So the thing, the challenge is this is a cycle. There's a cycle that we go through each and every day. And we have to, Satan's trying to shatter the shalom. We have to fight to seek it, but God wants to help us to restore it. So I just want to encourage us with that. And just to encourage us to fight for our peace, to fight for that shalom. And something that's really encouraging, and I want to let you guys know about, is the mental health is going to be starting up at the end of the month for those who are going to be mental health mentors. And this is another way of being able to just be able to address the need and to be able to talk and to invite others in to those traumas and challenges so that we can ultimately be able to be healed and have that shalom and have that peace in our life. And thank you. There's a couple of resources here. And if you need more information, I can email these to you. But thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much, Chuck. Thank you all for still being here. I know we passed the 8:30 mark, but we have one more to go. Carlito?
Yeah, it's okay. I'm here. All right, let me do this quick. So thanks. Hang on with us, guys. This is about mental health. Chuck talked about the spiritual trauma real briefly. I like to say sleep, bad sleep. Sleep actually is proof that there is a heaven. That's what I believe in, because if we didn't have to recharge our bodies, we didn't have to reboot ourselves. And if this was heaven, we just keep living on forever. So sleep is proof that there is a heaven. So I have five scriptures for you that I'll go through quick. And this is why I put this together that relates with mental health for good sleep and vice versa. Good mental health for good sleep and vice versa. And I put it together, I strung it together as one run-on sentence as I kind of thought through the mind and sleep and all that. So how do we get good sleep, good mental health and good sleep, vice versa? Where to start? The Bible. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation. Why? Because as it says in Proverbs 14, verse 30, peace of mind makes the body healthy, but jealousy is like a cancer. Be careful, because in Ephesians 4, it gives us a little bit of a roadmap here. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Psalms 94:19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Same verse, different version. So as to 1 Chronicles 28:9, serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. So why did I put these scriptures together? It has to do with good mental health and good sleep. And maybe because I am a good example of a case study. Okay. So one of the things I fear is confrontation. I fear confrontation, whether it's past or it's going to happen. So what happens when I'm trying to get to what Toju was saying, N1, N2, N3, and REM, I'm thinking about those confrontations, whether it's the prior confrontation that took place or the confrontation that's going to take place the next day. And I lose sleep, quite frankly. So this is just a roadmap as to, before the sun goes down, resolve. Resolve with the person you're in confrontation with. We talk to ourselves a lot in our head. Probably the person we speak to the most in our minds is ourselves. Guess who else is in our mind? Not Satan, but God. God's also in our mind too, because within the anxiety and the multitudes of thoughts, he's there. Also, maybe the behavior in the mental health field is, before you do something, God is examining your intention, your heart, and your thoughts. So be careful. Be careful what you're going to post. Be careful when you send on that email. Be careful, because if you have this confrontation, you're trying to stir up confrontation, it may not go over well. And because God's thinking through what you're going through, he will hold you accountable. And those are the things in my case study that causes me to lose sleep, is when I'm in confrontation either with myself or other people in other relationships, and I'm not bringing it to God. That's what I wanted to share. And thank you for listening to my run-on sentence about sleep, good sleep, and good mental health.